Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today, we have comedian and Alabamian and traveling guy who we have met through comedy, which I am super excited. I'm going to let him introduce himself. What is your name, sir?
In my country, they just call me...
I'll call you Herman.
So, my name in the Nigerian dialect would be Obaduni Molowulo, but nobody can pronounce that. So the American way would be Ubadnim Aloaloa.
Oh my God, both of them are so badass. That's not even fair, man. That's not even fucking fair. We got names like Elizabeth Seaman.
You don't even fucking use my name as the shit example.
No,
you don't use your own name.
Mine came
you're
second.
Like, oh, we got names like this bitch over here.
Mine came second. If you would have just hung on for a second. See, the thing is, that's the thing. Everybody right can at least everybody can has the ability to say your name, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. It's just they choose not to because Americans are stuck up. But yeah, so like with ours, especially, is it you said it's Ubad, right?
Well, Ubadnim is my first name. Most people call me Ubad because the first four letters of my name are UBAD. So that's where I get that from.
That's such a cool name. Like, mine's just like German and like fucking...
Nazi.
Everyone just pronounces it like Stitch. Like, just fall Stitch. What the hell? My cat is like freaking...
Oh my God,
is, like,
your cat needs
out
right now.
I don't exactly
know. She knows the green light's on.
My mom's got an interesting first name. Her name is Monine, and everyone goes, Maureen? Like, I knew how to spell her name before I knew how to spell anything else, because she had to constantly spell it.
We can all agree that Ubad has the coolest name that has ever existed in the history of names. I'm sorry that my cat is being so clingy and weird right now. I don't know what's going on. Maybe she heard your Nigerian accent, and she really wanted to check it out and see what was going on.
Oh, she wants me to do... You want me to do the whole podcast like this? I can do that if you like. Yeah.
Your cat is mauling you. Watch out. You're going to have a lizard.
Never does this. I don't know what this is. I have no idea what this is. So, Ubad, you said your default setting is chilling and relaxing?
Chilled out and relaxed. I'm pretty even-keeled person. I don't really get excited. Ever really. Only time I get excited is probably when I'm on stage and when I'm playing Xbox. That's about it.
So you being chilled and relaxed in the way that you don't get excited, but do you also not like get very upset?
No, I don't get very upset either. It takes a lot. You gotta like slap my mama or something to
or maybe do it in front of you because you're like, well, I didn't see it. So.
No.
It's word of mouth.
That's funny. Have you always been that way, like your whole life?
Yeah, I guess I always have. It I don't know. I'm never in a hurry to do anything. People say I drive like an old woman. I take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe
I'm the guy.
Thing.
I don't know.
Other thing is doing things like just, you know, no rush.
I guess so, but I guess I'm even more like that. I'm the guy that you'll be passing on the slow lane and get mad because he's blocking you. So, yeah, people.
I mean, as long as you stay in the slow lane and you're not blocking people in the fast lane, like.
Yeah.
Well, you get honked at in the slow lane.
But.
Too slow for the slow lane.
Have you ever gotten a ticket?
I got a ticket in 2013, and before that, it's probably been 10 years since I got a speeding ticket.
But they were both speeding tickets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so I've got like two in my life, but yeah.
Yeah, that's still like a third of the amount of tickets I've gotten in just the last year, so you're doing okay.
What are you doing, Jess? Jeez.
Yeah, I'm bad, apparently. I'm terrible at driving.
I've never had a ticket.
You got a left foot, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the biggest problem, and then when I moved to LA, I realized that you can't... I don't know what's going on right now. my cat is licking my face for everyone at home. But when you move to LA and there's this many drivers and people on the road, I realized you cannot drive like a bat out of hell around here. And if you try, you will total your car. So that happened. I mean, I feel like, yeah, slowing down is a big part of it. Do you find that it was more of like a, like, okay, so kind of going back a little bit, you said you, for the most part, you've already been, always been pretty much chill and relaxed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything you really had to cultivate. It wasn't anything where you had to like tell yourself to like calm down or slow down.
Yeah, I guess it's just my personality. I'm slow at everything. I mean, I wasn't slow in school. I wasn't in, like, you know, the remedial classes or anything. But
no short bus.
Yeah, I didn't ride that, no. But, they don't even have short buses anymore, you know? You see how they just integrated? I mean, in Alabama, they don't. They just integrated the remedials into society now. You can't even tell anymore.
No? So it's just you? What about anyone else in your family?
Well, my sister, I got two brothers and two sisters. And me and her are the closest of age. She's just a year apart from me, and she's pretty chill, too. Yeah. She's, like, just like me, basically. We could have been twins or something.
Do you think it's probably then more cultural from the South that kind of makes you guys more chill than your parents, or?
I don't know. It might be an African thing, because, like, for instance, just the other day, a buddy called me. He's like, man, are you asleep? I'm like, dude, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I'm driving. You know, so I guess I just got one of those voices. So.
That's the thing. I'm low. I can be low energy for sure, especially at work. Because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, at work, you're there because you have to be, and you have to be up early and all that other bullshit. And then, I don't know, here, like, people tend to really, I think they tend to call you out on it. They're like, whoa, what's up? Everything's beautiful and wonderful here. Why aren't you happy? Like, and it just... seems like a lot of obligation. I don't know if you run through that at all, where people think something's always wrong with you.
Yeah, 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 that happens. Are you okay? Yeah. Why aren't you talking? I don't want to talk. Yeah.
Like, you sick or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's good to know that it happens to guys too, where you get the whole smile more BS thing. Like, I feel like that's too good, like...
Yeah.
When women aren't smiling all the time, I feel everyone's like, what's wrong? Why aren't you happy? What's going on? And guys are allowed to be more stoic. Yeah. So it sounds like you experienced some of that too.
Yeah.
Yep. See, case in point right there. So what is it? I don't know why this is happening.
Oh my God. She just keeps getting all up in your
I
ears.
Really don't
like,
know what.
Hey.
I don't know what this is about. Like, it's like ironic, really, that we're talking about chilling and relaxing, and she's losing her goddamn mind. So,
this is like a dust.
What do you? What is it? Because you mentioned you travel to Cleveland for work. What is it you do?
I'm in insurance. So, basically, the last 4 or 5 months of the year, like super busy. Like last year, I was gone from August all the way till almost Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so. Basically living out of hotels and rental cars and airplanes. So, yeah. But so basically, you know, when you work for a company and they have their end of the year benefits for the health, dental, vision, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pretty much send me to different places and I enroll the employees and all that stuff. So,
okay.
And yeah, we do a few hospitals in the Cleveland area. We do Metro Health, St. Vincent's. We do Mercy out in Canton. Lake Health out in Parma Manor. So, yeah, I'm there a couple times a year for about a month each time. So.
And do you just try to do comedy in all the cities that you travel to?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. I just check out open mic spots and go do my craft. And, yeah, it's fun. It gives me something to do while I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't hang out with my coworkers very much because most of them are old. No offense, old people. So I just...
I mean, no offense to old people, but most of the time they don't really like going out either.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So, yeah, I just go to different open mics, and usually, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good, so people will end up putting me on shows. And, yeah, I just meet a lot of great people, like both of y'all.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know SX1 likes putting me on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, when did you start doing comedy?
Okay, so, make a long story short, I used to work with this guy, funniest guy that I know, Jonathan Tilson. And we used to work for the same company out of Connecticut. But we traveled together a whole lot. And he's from Boston, and he used to do open mics and stuff. And I just ride with him, and he's hold the camera for him, basically, when he wanted me to record something. And one day he was like, man, you got to go up there and do it. And I'm like, man, I don't have nothing to talk about. He's like, man, you got to go up there. You're pretty funny. I was like, yeah, I know I'm funny, but I don't know. I don't got nothing to talk about. So fast forward maybe about 2 years after that, right? And I went to a local comedy show here in my town of Huntsville, Alabama. And when I tell you it sucked, like, it was horrible. I didn't laugh not one time, okay. Not once. And so I was like, I left there thinking, I'm like, man, I could do a better job than these guys, you know? So I called him up, and I was like, man, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. He's like, comedy? He's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. He's like, man, you should, man. I was like, but I don't have anything to talk about. So he starts telling me about all these stories that I've told him over the years.
Oh, like, nice.
Like how, like, my dad tried to kill Santa Claus. You know what I mean? True story. Couldn't make that up. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, all these Nigerian stories of how I grew up. And he's like, man, you ought to just say some of that stuff. So first time I ever did it, I did it for me and a bunch of my friends in 2015. You know, me and a bunch of my friends, like, rent this cabin and we'll go kayak and all that stuff. Yeah, I know.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, this black guy knows how to swim. I know.
Congratulations.
But, yeah. So I did it for a bunch of my friends, and they loved it. And then I didn't do it again for, like, another 2 years. So 2015 once, and then I did it, started doing it again in 2017, and been doing it ever since. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I travel,
I feel like I couldn't do it just in front of a group of my friends. Like, that seems way scarier than in a group of strangers.
Well, they're my friends, and I knew they would be honest with me. You know how some friends aren't really friends. Like, you see people on American Idol. Remember that when no one had ever told them they couldn't sing?
Yeah.
And they go out there and embarrass themselves.
Yeah.
I knew my friends wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah. Maybe I just wasn't ready when I started. I'm like, I don't know if I want, like, the truth. Like, I need to, like, kid glove start, and then I can handle it.
No, I want the truth.
Yeah.
I can handle it. Yeah.
That's, like, I agree with both of those, sort of, like, because my friends especially are super supportive. And so, especially, like, my one friend, Jessie, like, she'll come. She's actually dating Spider, and she will come to, like, all of our shows. She'll hear our jokes 100 times, and literally it doesn't matter how many times she's heard them. If the room is dead silent, you'll hear her going, ah, ha, 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 in the back of the room. And as much as, like, it's so supportive and you appreciate it at the same time, it's just like, I probably need to find out if that's actually funny or not.
Who knows? Maybe she's just easy to please.
True. Very true. She could be an easy audience.
Well, she's with Spider, so.
Ha!
As soon as I said it, I'm like, who's taking it? Who's taking the bait? Let him do it.
Nah, what's up, Spider-Man? Love you, dude.
He doesn't listen to shit.
Oh, man.
I don't even think he listened to the episode he was on, but then
also
Jesse, who is our age, cannot figure out how to listen to podcasts. Like, it's completely like she doesn't. And we've like,
I had to set my best friend up.
We've given her tutorials. We're like, here, like, you just, there's a podcast app and they automatically load to your phone and then you just press play. And she was like, this is just.
Oh.
My mom is, like, all about podcasts. Like, she listens to so many.
Yeah.
Her and my dad listen to a few, too.
I'm obsessed, man.
They can figure it out.
I learn so much random bullshit, and also, like, it just makes exercising, cleaning, things I hate doing just so much better, because you just lose your mind and, like, thinking about what they're talking about.
I don't like silence. When I'm at home, I'm like, I need some noise. It's too quiet in here. It's weirding me out.
Yep, absolutely. And that's probably why I almost only if I listen to terrestrial radio, exclusively listen to NPR, because it's just there's people and I don't feel alone, and then I don't get sad. And I'll actually put NPR on for the cats when we like go on vacation, so they feel like somebody's here. Cause
oh wow,
that's how crazy cat lady I am.
White people in y'all's
eyes. I know, right? And both of mine have like the smashed faces too. Like they're like the little smushy faced ones, which makes them even more delicate and frou frou somehow, and more white than probably. Like one of my cats I had, she just passed away. She was like, I got her like off, like she was living like on the side of the road and like drinking ditch water. So like she was far more hardcore and had much more of like street cred.
Like a Heathcliff dog.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, but now my cats I have now are all fancy and frou frou, and they eat dinner out of crystal goblets and shit. So,
like the fancy.
Yeah, like the fancy feast commercial. I insulted her enough that she finally went away. Like I was just talking about her, like, oh, she's this little powder puff, and then she was like, fuck off, and then just left. So when did your parents move from Nigeria?
Oh, well, my dad first came here on a student visa going to school. And after a while, he just sent for my mom, dad, brothers, and sisters, and me, and we've been here ever since. So that was like mid-80s when we moved here. I was like 4 years old, so yeah.
Did they come to Alabama or?
Yep. He came student visa going to Alabama A&M.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you know specifically what about Alabama A&M he wanted to, why he chose that school over another?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, it was Nigeria, so I'm sure he was just trying to get out. So I think any place in the U.S. would have been better.
Alabama sounds great.
Yeah, it didn't matter if it was Montana, so yeah. Or Cleveland.
God forbid.
Throwing us in with Montana, man. Yeah.
And Alabama. He came here for school, and then did he send for your mom, or...
Yeah, he sent for my mom, brother, and sister, and me, and then I have another little brother and sister.
Okay, so you guys were all born in Nigeria?
Yeah, I was born there, yep.
Very cool. How old were you when you came here?
4 years old.
So you probably don't remember any of it?
No, I don't remember too much of anything. I remember two things. Basically, my grandmother holding me, and this is going to be a crazy story, all right? It's a wonder they didn't, like, throw me away. And like, this one is no good. We make up. But I have these, I'm not getting naked or anything, y'all, but I have these things on my chest and my stomach, polka dots. And that's the second thing that I remember. My grandmother holding me and me like picking at these things that they put on me and them slapping my hands away. Yeah. But basically, make a long story short, like I said, I'm slow, right? And I've always been pretty slow and relaxed and just do my own thing at my own pace. Well, my sister, who's a year younger than me, started walking before I did.
What?
And she started walking before I did. So they put these things on me, probably from the local, you know, medicine man, witch doctor, to bring the sickness out of me and make me walk. Yeah. So like, I mean, this is 2019. We know that kids walk whenever they want to, right?
Yeah.
But back in the early 80s, in the third world country like Nigeria, they didn't know any better. So they put this stuff on me to bring the sickness out of me, to make me walk, and I would pick at them, and they would smack my hands away. And I actually remember that.
Wow.
I still have the scars.
Maybe
today.
It worked, because you do a great job walking.
Yes.
Oh, well.
I've seen you put one foot in front of the other. I would have never known that it was a
scar. I'm pretty good at it now, huh?
Yeah.
It looks almost natural, doesn't it?
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a wonder they didn't, like, throw me away. Like, this one is no good. We'll make another one.
It kind of, though,
I don't even want to walk.
Even in the 80s, I love that, like, even in a third world country, I distinctly remember, like, the 80s and 90s. It's like, if you were a kid and you weren't hitting, like, this milestone by a certain age, it was, like, a big fucking deal. So it's interesting to me that societal pressure was still there. Like, oh, he's not walking yet. We got to do something about this, because that's the kind of thing that we would do here. It was just not handled the same way.
Yeah.
Would you remember what it was they put on you?
No, I don't, but I don't know if y'all can actually see the scars. But
I saw something.
Yeah. Can you see these?
He's showing them this to us at home. We'll make this our screen thing.
But there's like, if I ever see you in person, I'll show you the ones on my stomach and chest, and it looks like I'm polka dotted. And I'm really, really dark, because there are only two shades in Africa, black and black as hell. So, like, but if you're, like, real close to me, you can see them, and, yeah, it just looks like I'm polka dotted. But it's, most people don't notice it unless I actually tell them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be, like, some kind of freckles.
Yeah, yeah. But they're perfectly round, and they are systematically placed. Yeah.
Well, you know, perfectly round means not cancer, so that's cool.
Okay. Oh, it definitely wasn't that.
Now he's going to be looking at them all the time like, oh, God, are they still round?
I'm just seeing some of the spots all over my face just from nature.
Are they still symmetrical?
They're not symmetrical. They're everywhere. I look like a chocolate chip cookie.
Mmm, chocolate chip cookie. I once tried.
I don't like them that much.
I once tried to eat her face because.
Oh, she licked me a bunch when she was drunk.
Hey, but I thought this wasn't that kind of podcast.
Well,
yeah.
Occasionally we'll tell tales.
Now we just talk about it.
Yeah, we won't actually do it. We just talk about it on the podcast. We talk about everything.
Oh, okay.
You just kept telling me it tasted like pancakes.
Yeah, I was real drunk.
Nice.
I got them kicked out.
Yes.
I got them kicked out of a bar, and
we talked about this on the Katie O'Malley episode.
Yeah, and then they had to.
Oh yeah, yeah. I watched that. Listened to that one.
Yeah, it was a good time. It's weird. California is a lot more conservative than I would expect it to be, just because like here we're the crazy people. Like we've gotten yelled at for smoking weed. We've gotten kicked out of bars. It's been.
Wow.
Making a name for yourself.
Yeah, I know, right?
Take LA by storm. You're on the road to being famous. That's just, like, you're causing trouble getting kicked out of places.
I know. I need to practice, like.
You Lindsay Lohan that joint up.
I need to get arrested and get, like, a glamour mugshot. And...
Yeah. Wait, don't forget to, like, show your cooch when you get out of a car.
Yeah, I've really only got about 3 more years before no one wants to see that, so I really need to get on that.
Shut up.
Make that happen before you get out of your prime.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if there is a prime time to show your cooch, like, take advantage.
Strike while the iron's hot, I guess.
Yeah. Just strike while the cooch is right.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know. That's a saying.
I don't know what the taught.
I wasn't taught. So, okay, wait. So you have how many siblings?
I got 2 brothers and 2 sisters.
Okay. And they were all born in Nigeria?
No, me, my older brother, and my sister that's a year younger than me were born in Nigeria. Then I have another little brother and little sister.
And is everybody still in Alabama?
No, my sister that's a year younger than me is in Baltimore. I don't know why she moved there.
My sister's in Baltimore, too.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I visited her. Man, I thought that it, like, wasn't going to be like The Wire.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah.
Still like The Wire. It is,
probably,
and there's
worse,
like,
than
weird
Cleveland.
Little, yeah, for sure. Like, it was worse than Detroit. Like, I'm sorry, people, like, hate on Detroit, but it looked way worse in sections of Baltimore than shitty parts of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not getting enough credit for how shitty bits of that place are.
Yeah, Baltimore is a dump. And here's the thing, with Baltimore, like, she actually lives in a decent neighborhood, but with Baltimore, like, 2 blocks over is, like, a war zone.
Exactly. I was visiting her. Her neighborhood's fine. She actually lives in something. It's like there's a lot of, like, not Orthodox Jewish community, but there's, like, they all, like, walk to the synagogue on the weekend. Like, nobody drives and stuff. So it's like, so she lives in a nice area. And then I went to the closest Aldi to her because we were, like, making dinner. And holy shit, it was terrible.
You're like, dang, I left my strap.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I have enough mace for this place. Jesus.
Yeah, I actually really wondered if it was like The Wire, like if The Wire got it right. I assumed it had, but then also that was all filmed like almost 20 years ago. So I was like, oh, maybe it's not like that anymore. So.
But they have updated it since The Wire. So
yeah,
I just thought that, like, oh, I'm sure there's more nice parts than bad parts, because there are some nice parts. And
they are by the harbor.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to shit on the whole place, but man, the parts that are shit, it's real shit.
Yeah.
It's real shit.
Mm-hmm. And not like the, just like the little, you know, little dingaloes. It's talking about the big droplets, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like some tiny rabbit turds. It's mm-mm. like grown ass man ate too much cheese.
Yeah.
Like
diarrhea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your sister lives in shit town.
Yeah, your sister lives in shit town.
And then my older brother, he's still here in Huntsville. My little sister, the other little sister, she's still here in Huntsville. And my little brother is actually at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
I forget, is the main campus in Huntsville or Tuscaloosa?
No, the main campus, no. Our campus is in Tuscaloosa, T-Town.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that where you went to school?
People always ask me that. If I did go there, I mean, I went there to party, hang out with my sister. I never took any classes there, but yeah, my sister graduated from there, and my little brother's going there now. But I wasn't enrolled there, but I have been there quite a few times, so I did go there.
Okay,
just didn't take any classes.
Got it.
Well, Ohio's like that too, you know, like almost like the whole state basically cheers for Ohio State, even though not, you know, we obviously didn't all go there. Jess actually went there.
I did actually go there.
So you're a Buckeye, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't like you for some reason. Roll Tide.
It's weird.
Roll Tide.
Just because, well, I just have that natural like air anyway, but I was such a diehard Buckeye fan, and then the older I get and the more problematic I see that whole sort of like that everybody on that, the coach, and just then like the fans in general are just like super douchey, like Neanderthal.
That's like all college football fans.
Probably true. I just like, for me, it just gets harder and harder to like justify like my diehard fandom when it's like, you know, the head coach is covering up for like domestic violence and like, you know, just all that other bullshit. Like, at least when Tressel was coach, like, you know, and he was all Jesus-y and whatever, which is fine. Like, the worst thing that happened were the fucking tattoos for pants. And, like, that was the thing that effectively sort of ended his administration. And I just, I struggle in general with, especially NCAA, and I struggle with, you know, that whole thing. But it's just, it's gotten harder and harder for me to care, I guess. Maybe it's just I don't have a lot of energy to care about.
You know what would justify it? Championships.
I mean, I did watch when we played against Oregon and we won like a few years back. It was like the first college football championship or whatever. And I think that was effectively the last time I cared, because I was just like, I can't.
I like watching, but I like watching with other people. Like, I don't always watch by myself, but if it's like me and my sister and my dad, or even if I'm Skyping my sister in Baltimore and we watch like a Browns game or an Ohio State game, like it just,
you watch a Browns game?
Fun. Yeah.
On purpose?
Yep.
Oh,
we gotta just sit, and then she's in Baltimore, and then, you know, every time we play the Ravens, it's like, we gotta win so you can tell them to shut the fuck up.
So, okay, that's one of the main, we were just talking about this, that's one of the, it was like a teeny tiny little thread of why I moved to California, was the fact that, like, no one in Cleveland could care about anything else except for the, like, historically and nationally known horribleness of this football team. Like, everyone just loved this football team so much, and I was like, I do not fucking understand the passion that goes into caring about such a shitty football team. Like, people wouldn't show up to our shows. Like, people would get, like, I lived next door to a Browns tailgate lot, so people would get in fights at, like, 8 in the morning underneath my window while I was trying to sleep because they were all drunk and, like, tailgating. And, like, I just was like, I can't fucking get, like, I need to go to a city where they don't give a flying rat's ass about sports. And I have gotten that. I have definitely got, what's really funny is that, like, we're in the Super Bowl here in LA this year, and I've heard literally nothing about it from anyone. Like, no one gives a flying rat's ass that we're in the Super Bowl here. Also, I heard that we probably shouldn't have won that game. And again, like, no one.
Yeah, there's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious. So, are you a football fan, you bad?
I watch college football. I really don't keep up much with the pros, but here in Alabama, like, we have Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah.
And we don't have a pro team. I mean, Alabama is our pro team. We can probably beat
basically
a lot of pro teams. So, Yeah, so I really don't keep up with the NFL, but I'm all about my college.
So with college, that's all I'll be Saturday. Are you the kind of person, because this was me when I gave a shit, are you the kind of person that, like, loses their goddamn mind at, like, bad calls, or because you're historically chill, are you usually still pretty, like, composed during watching games?
I'm composed, but a bad call, I'm not going to lie, it will take me out of my element. I'm not even going to lie. And, yeah, usually, like, because I'm gone for most of the season, so I'm usually watching it at a bar with a bunch of strangers that don't give a shit about Alabama or either hate Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the rest of the country mostly.
Yeah.
I see somebody was like up, like parked outside my apartment in Cleveland, and they had like an Alabama license plate, and I'm like, fucking Roll Tide my ass. What the fuck are you doing here?
Oh, I was working in West Virginia. Please?
Like, come on.
I was working in West Virginia, right? And my sister was, you know, lives in Baltimore, so she came up to see me for the weekend. And believe it or not, y'all, we got kicked out of a bar because we were cheering too hard.
What?
Yeah. First off, they didn't have the game on. We're like, what? I'm like, we're the number one team in the country. How do you not have the game on, right? Yeah. We had to ask them to turn the game on. TV. Yeah, they gave us like one little corner TV in the back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is at a bar, sports bar. Okay, and the manager comes up to it. He's like, "Hey, can y'all sort of like, you know, keep it down a little bit?" And I'm like, "Really? We're at a sports bar. I mean, but okay, whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Sorry, my bad.
They don't win anything.
Haters. Yeah. And then like he came back a little later. He's like, you know, can y'all please keep it down? I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, man. Just give me my check. Give him the check, man. We'll take our business somewhere else, man. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Given, I have to ask, given the fact it was West Virginia, do you think it had anything to do with racial vibes?
It was a hillbilly town, Martinsburg, West Virginia, so yeah, it might have had a little something to do with that. I mean, they're all like inbred there anyway.
Yes,
so that,
yes,
you know.
Exactly that. Well, it's just funny because we have familiarity with working, trying to work at bars where there's a very much like us versus them mentality. We ran a showcase for like almost a year at a place where... yeah, they didn't take kindly to anyone who was an outsider, essentially, and we got shit thrown at us, and got threatened, and
ruining their, like, Sunday night drunkenness.
Yeah, I regularly...
Sunday night, like, you're getting this trash, like, that's fine, but you couldn't, like, shut up for 40 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what Spider got cups thrown at him?
Yes! That is.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah.
That was the last show there.
Yep. And what's great is that at that point, they hadn't even fired us. We just looked at each other and we're like, we're not coming back here. This is just, this is too much. So we started looking for venues and we found Skidmark immediately. And within 2 days of finding Skidmark, they texted Spider and they're like, the regulars are really upset with you and they're mad they can't play pool and just all this bullshit. And I was like, how are you sustaining a business off five like drunk assholes that come in there every set? Like, I don't understand.
Right. And this comedy show's bringing in a bunch of people like, you hate money or something.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Yeah. They're a drug front.
They hate life.
I'm probably going to get sued at some point for slander. Like, they're a drug front.
That could be.
That's all I'm saying. So are your parents still around?
Yeah. Yeah. My parents are both still here in Alabama. Yeah.
Cool. Do you see your family that's nearby fairly regularly?
Yeah. I was just with my mom. Oh man, it was so frustrating. Not only is my mom older, but she's also Nigerian, so I was trying to get her a PayPal set up and online banking. Oh my goodness, I don't have any hair on my head, but if I did, I would have pulled it all out. Oh, I was so frustrated.
Oh god. How old is your mom around about?
Well, here's the thing, when this is back in the 80s when we moved here, and back then you could actually change your age when you moved here on your papers. Yeah So my my mom and dad are actually younger on paper than they are
I mean, if you had a chance to do it, I guess, like,
I mean, you can't do that now, but back then, you know, things weren't as stringent, you know, so but she was born in 1960, but her papers all say like 64 or 65, something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
You said they're not as chill as you, right? Like, you don't think you got it from them?
I mean, I guess they're chill, but not as chill as me. I'm definitely the most chill person that I probably even know.
Oh, really?
To be honest with you. So, yeah. Yeah. My girlfriend gets mad because she's like, you don't get excited about anything. Not even sex.
How does that work with dating?
Yeah. She'll be like, as he's at work, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to give you some head when you get home. What do you think? I'll be like, sure. Sounds great.
Well, like, that would be nice, I suppose. If you want to.
And then she'll lose her. She'll lose her shit.
Oh my god.
Like, well, if you don't care, then fuck it.
And she's the total opposite. She's like, that's drug. Yeah, like, she's the polar opposite of me. So,
it's good balance.
In my head, like, chill and relax is for the most part advantageous or beneficial. And now we're kind of getting into more like, in addition to what we were just talking about, do you find it ever as problematic or causes you trouble to be too, like, mellow?
Causes you to get less head, maybe?
Sometimes. You know what thing that I really, I guess, only time it's really been problematic is, like, different contracts and stuff. So I pretty much work as a contractor for different companies. And I pretty much work for like the same two or three companies, basically. But sometimes I won't send off my expense reports because I'm just like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And then when I finally do get to it and send it off, it's like, I should have sent it off about a month and a half ago. You know what I mean? Because I'm just so chilled and like, you know, but I don't know. And then if any kind of glitches in there or anything, it might take a little bit longer. It's like, yeah, so, When it's dealing with money, I probably shouldn't be so chill and relaxed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But money is like been one of the number one stressors in for everybody. So you're just going to live longer.
Yeah, but I still don't get stressed out about it. I'm just like, what can I do? You know? Yeah. I mean, as long as I'm not living out on the street. So
there you go.
You could teach classes because I feel like so many people could benefit from just having that sort of level of, well, you know? You're not on the street, though, so.
Could be worse.
I need to medicate myself to get to that level. Between medication and marijuana, those are, like, the two things that keep me, like, from not freaking the fuck out all the time. So, if I could, like.
Well, you do live in Cali. It's a little there, isn't it?
Yes, which is extremely helpful. Like, it's funny because I think about all the, like, shit things that have happened, like, in the last couple of weeks and since I moved here. But then I was like, because, I mean, it is very stressful, at least, to live in L.A., but at the same time, it's just kind of like, yep, but then I can just go buy weed whenever I want, and it's like...
Yeah, I just go buy weed and go to the fucking ocean, because I can. It's right here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Man, yeah, it's like 70 degrees in January, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's weird because, like, towards the end of December, again, I don't expect sympathy for this at all, because it's still nothing.
Well, good, you're not getting any.
But it was like... The one thing that's hard is that when it's either, like, always freezing cold, and I don't know if you experience this in Alabama at all, probably a little bit less than here, but it's much easier when it's always either fucking freezing or fucking hot, because then you know, like, what to wear. Here, I have no idea. Like, I have to wear, like, 25 layers all the time, because, like, in the morning, it'll be, like, 40, but then when I go out at noon, I'll still be, like, I'll bundle up thinking it's still going to be 40, but it'll be, like, 70, and I'm like, what? And then I have to, like, strip off, like, 14 layers to go to my car because it's so, like, warm outside, so.
That desert life.
Yeah.
It's cold at night.
Yeah, that's literally it. And I don't know. I mean, Alabama, do you guys get fairly, like, mild? I'm guessing it's fairly warm down there.
No, it's not warm, but, I mean, it's a little cold. I mean, but we don't – here's the thing with Alabama. Say we're scheduled for, like, a quarter of an inch of snow, the whole city shuts down.
Yeah.
When I say the whole city, like, everything. Nobody go to work. The kids don't go to school. Like, grocery stores are all empty because nothing on the shelf. People bought up all the food
God.
For a quarter inch of snow. It's Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I see that works out sometimes for other people. Like when my sister in Baltimore and my best friend outside of DC, it'll snow a bit, and then like you get to go home early. You get like you get the day off of work. Nobody's out, but if you you know how to drive in the snow, and it's not that bad. Like the city is yours.
Yeah, that's true.
Like because everybody down there is too scared. They don't know what to do with themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, fuck it. Like,
that's such a good
wherever you want.
Yeah.
We always like, we always want to know like what would happen here if it snowed. Well, what's funny is a couple weeks ago, we literally, it was like the weather said like we were having a winter storm. And all it was sheets of rain. Like it was just raining like crazy. And then the waves were like 12 to 15 feet high because the wind was really strong or whatever, but they were like calling it a winter storm and we were just cracking up because
it's a winter about it. The month that it happened in, that's
I mean, it's technically part. Winter and it technically was a storm, but
there you go. I got some friends in San Diego, a buddy and his wife, he's in the Navy, and they tell me that every time it rains there, there are so many accidents in San Diego because people aren't used to driving in the rain.
Yep. Another thing, two other things I learned about the rain here. One, it washes like, because I lived here from July until probably November before I saw it rain for the first time here, like at all. Like I'm talking like drops.
Wow.
Elizabeth was here and it started to rain a little bit because I got locked outside. And
it was in August,
but it was like literally like it rained five drops and then it was done. But like one thing is because there's like months that go by where like no rain happens, all this shit on the roads starts to kind of like stuff on the side of the roads or whatever starts tending to get like washed into the middle of the roads. So the very first thing I noticed that happened when it started raining here is I got a flat tire because I ran over a nail. And I, when I took my car into the guy to fix it, he was like, oh yeah, you're like the 18th person today that's had a nail in their tire. Cause I guess it just like the rain just washes like, you know, shit like that into the street. But the other thing is that when it doesn't rain for 4 months, you find out very quickly how, big of a homeless problem we have here because then everything smells like pee because it's all getting washed away off the sidewalk. Into the sewer grates.
Rehydrating the residue. Oh,
wow. Everything smells like pee.
Yeah. I heard the homeless population in LA is like serious.
Yeah. So the thing is, and it's really weird. I don't understand because there's so many different little like municipalities and towns and neighborhoods and shit that there's different laws everywhere. But like, so like, I think there are some parts of LA that have laws that say you can't even sleep in your car, which makes like no fucking sense to me because like it's your car, you're sheltered, you're not bothering anybody.
Yeah. But
then there's like areas like downtown, especially like Skid Row, that is just everyone sleeps outside. I mean, it's just tents and
yeah, there's tent cities. Yeah.
Tent cities.
Yeah.
We even saw some like in Koreatown or whatever when we were headed over there. It's just like on the sidewalks if there's like a lot or something.
You and I were heading to Silver Lake and we saw some, which is like the most hipster like neighborhood. But
rich hipster never.
A lot of people will set up shop under overpasses too. Like that's a big, like almost every overpass you'll see tents and things like that. Ultimately, what I think it boils down to, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of factors, but really, like, it's warm here. So if you're gonna go be like homeless somewhere, you know, I guess this is a good place to do it.
Not to worry about snow and rain.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then and then also I think the cost of living is like becoming it's starting to become concerning, I think, for everyone, just because there's only rent control in certain municipalities, and then there's all these little like in Santa Monica there's rent control but only if you live in a building that was built prior to like 1990 or something. And when there's no rent, when
they got red tape on a rent control, huh?
If there's rent control, like that means they can't raise your rent more than 5% every year, which still to me seems kind of high. So it's funny to me that that's what's considered rent control. But then furthermore, anything that's not in a rent controlled area or doesn't have rent control, that literally means they're not legally bound by any cap. Like they can raise your rent double if they want to the next year. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. And in most places, as I understand it, the average, I think, is anywhere from 8% to Adam says, my boyfriend says he works with a guy that he lives in Santa Monica, and they raised it 20% from last year. And that's the thing. We're kind of like, we're kind of just kind of on pins and needles waiting to see what happens, because our lease is up in July. And I had read reviews about the place that we're in that said they raised their rent 14%. Well, that's an extra $400 a month. And
why do people raise, like, I don't understand. Like,
the thing that I don't get is that, like, inflation. First off, this is causing, like,
like, I'm a good tenant and I've been here. Why are you charging me more?
And, like, I mean, I think that's another huge part of the homeless thing, and that makes me a little nervous. I mean, ultimately, we picked a really expensive neighborhood to live in. I think anytime you pick, like, West LA near the ocean, you're going to have to deal with rent control, or you have to do with rent raising a lot more often and more quickly. But like, it's just, mm-hmm. to me, I don't know, it seems like at some point something's got to give, because it's not like the national wages are going up. You know what I mean? Like, you can keep raising rent, but at some point, like,
yeah.
people who make the kind of money that you're asking for aren't going to want to fucking live in a 700 square foot apartment. They're going to want to live like in a fucking mansion, or they're going to want to live yeah. in a much bigger, nicer yeah. place. And so that's why it's like, at some point I have to believe, because wages aren't going up, but rent's like, you know, doubling, like, they're not going to get people to mm-hmm. actually fill their apartments that, you know, people aren't going to pay it. They can't pay it. They can't afford to pay it. So
yeah.
we're holding out to see what happens. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think between the fact that it's, you know, kind of easy to be homeless here because of the weather, followed by, you know, it's kind of easy to be made homeless here by the fact that, like, you eventually just can't afford rent.
yeah.
That's, I think, why uh-huh. it's such a big issue here. It's still not as bad as San Francisco, which is a whole yeah. other can of bullshit. And it's funny, you guys are talking about pooping in the street with Baltimore.
we're talking about pooping in the street. We're saying it was poop.
poop, gotcha. So
yeah. the place is
so poop. In San Francisco, I had to visit San Francisco for work a couple months ago. And it was funny because we were walking around, like, going to bars and stuff. And I was just like, it smells terrible out here. Like, it just, and I was like, maybe the sewers are just bad. I don't know. And then a couple weeks later, the guy that I work with up in San Francisco sent us this map that was from, like, a reputable news source. It was, like, Washington Post or something. And it was, like, the brown map. And it was showing, like, where the highest concentrations of, like, just people publicly defecating were throughout, like...
oh, wow. Fuck.
And furthermore, like, this is the fucking city where, like, it costs $7,000 a month to live in a studio, you know?
To live in a place that smells like mm-hmm. shit. No, thank you.
Wow.
I bet you don't have to deal with that at all in Huntsville. the housing's pretty relaxed.
yeah, I mean, no, we have some homeless population, but not very. If you're homeless in Huntsville, especially in Alabama where rents are not very high, mm-hmm. then you're just not doing anything with your life.
That's a choice you made.
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel sorry for you.
At least you have that level of, like, you know, your chill stops at just enough where you're just like, I care if I have a house, or I care if I have, you know, plumbing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm from a third world country, but so I like to eat. So I'm never yeah. going to not eat as much as I want.
Make up for lost time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you bet. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you care to promote upcoming as far as shows or cities or where you're going to be, where people can check you out on social media?
Well, I barely have a Facebook because I don't post on there very much. I don't have a Twitter or Instagram.
I know, right?
If you want to Google, you bad, who name, oh la 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 la, then
yeah.
you will find him.
Yeah, you won't see very much, but yeah, I'm there, I guess.
No, to actually spell that correctly.
You didn't pronounce it correctly, but you sounded it out.
I did.
So, I guess you went through Hooked on Phonics. Point. Pretty.
Yeah, I say.
Graduated and everything. but I do have a show coming. I got a show coming up in March and another one in April. The one in March is right outside of Huntsville in Somerville, Alabama. And the one in April is in Greenville, South Carolina. So
nice. Stay into the warm weather. Yeah. places.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, March 17th, you can check out Couch Gags, which both Ubad has been on and Elizabeth is regularly on. It is at the Skidmark Garage in Cleveland, Ohio at 7 p.m. You can check out all of our shows at SX1 Entertainment on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Elizabeth, I'm always just going to ask you, do you have anything you care to promote?
Yeah, you say that, and then I'm like, I don't know what my Instagram is. Google it.
Just Google Elizabeth Seaman, but with an A.
I might be 100. I don't know what anything is.
With the social media grams.
I don't know how the Snapchats work.
Tweeters.
I really don't. I don't have that
don't
app.
Learn don't it, because it's on its way out anyway. So.
Thank God. I don't understand it.
I want to thank OK Pants for doing our logo, and I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Okay, love you, bye. Turn around, don't walk away. The slumber plays out every day. And I don't wanna do this over and over again. Over and over again. All right, so forgive me. You have to tutor me on how to introduce you and how to say your name.
Okay. Introduce me however you want. I don't get offended.
No, you're fine. I just want to say it right.
Oh, you'll never say it right because you don't have the accent to say
oh,
it right.
No.
I like to tell people a myriad of different ways to say it. I hardly ever tell them the right way. When I do, they're like, huh? The first day of school was always, oh, man, it was rough. Every year. Every period.
Yeah, it was every single class you go into.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was every day because they could never remember how to.
I got to where in high school I would just tell the teachers that people just call me Herman and the whole class would bust out laughing. Some teachers caught on pretty early, but some other teachers like Miss Belrose, oh, poor her. Oh, man. She called me Herman for like the whole first semester. And finally, I just had to tell her, like, you know how everyone laughs every time you call roll? She's like, sometimes. I'm like, yeah, because nobody calls me Herman but you.
I would just be like, yep, I'm still going to call you Herman, though. That's just it. Because then, you know, like, when you say Herman, you can just keep the roll call going. Like, when you try to say your actual name, that takes, like, 5 minutes.
7 or 8.
Yeah. When people do the roll call with my name, it was always fun because, like, they didn't want to say semen if it wasn't semen. So then they get to it, and then there's, like, the internal struggle of, like, I don't want to, like, embarrass this kid. But, like, so it's usually turns to, like, Simon. And I'm like, wow, you make me sound so fancy.
I know, right?
It's just semen.
I'm still just super semen. Proud of your family in that, like, I feel like most families would be like, yeah, we just pronounce it Simon. Like, you know what I mean?
Nah.
But your family's like, fuck that. We're going to make everyone uncomfortable. We're going to make them sick. Yeah.
Doesn't fucking bug me anymore. Like, that's other people's problem now.
That's my favorite. Like, Elizabeth and I can always remember the first time we met because she came to a comedy show and I had to introduce her. And I was like, so is it actually semen? And she was like, yep, it sure is. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was like my first like real set. And then I went up and but I love it because it makes a great icebreaker for when you start, which I'm sure you probably do too.
Oh, yeah.
People jack up your name or they ask. It's just like. Yep, that's the thing. Like, I don't even have to say my name. Like, it's like a free joke to the host, like, every single time.
So that begs the question, has anyone actually said your name correctly on the first try?
Unless they were Nigerian, no.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Is your name in Nigeria, like, Smith?
It's not Smith, but it's pretty common. It'd be, like, maybe... Johnson. Maybe not.
Do they use your name to, like, refer to their genitals? Like, oh, I got a bear.
No. No.
That's my name.
Yeah, right. That's where Elizabeth comes in. Elizabeth gets the genital references.
I don't know. Great. I it wasn't this right side of the family, but I had, like, they call him Dick. Like, his name was Richard. And it's just like, oh, man, it was my grandma's brother. It was so close to being Dick Seaman. Could have had one.
We had neighbors growing up. Their last name was Butt. B-U-T-T, which is a surprisingly more common last name than it probably should be. Right. And that was it. Like, it was ultimately, like, what the challenge of, like, what do you even name your kid? Because I feel like just about anything, like, obviously Seymour. And Richard and Sandy and Harold and like
Mila. That was gotta be harder too, because at least with my name, like, kids don't know what they don't know it's like a dirty thing for a while. Mm-hmm. But like Butt, like, they know Butt. Like, all right, off the bat, they know Butt.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth. Whenever first saw you perform after we did Couch Gags and we went to that, like, horrible
shithole.
And it was, I thought it was your stage name when they said Elizabeth Seaman, to be honest with you. I didn't know that was your real last name, so it is catchy.
Yeah. That's just, like, it makes it, like, the only one-liners I have are just do with my last name, because the intro I just say, yeah, it's hard for some people to swallow, and then mm-hmm. just let it roll. And then I say, not me. It's been 29 years. Doesn't mean I like it. It means I'm used to it. I think people can relate.
Was when we were doing, did you ever come to one of our toast battles? So they were reverse roast battles where we would compliment each other with jokes. Hers were always, like, my favorite ones to write, because they were so easy. It was just like, she's the only semen that's already sweet. You don't have to eat a pineapple first.
It's like the only semen you like in your house or something.
I was like, she's the
you only, on your couch.
She's the only semen that smells good. She's the only semen that I would be happy to find in a bathroom. Or happy to find in my seat. Like, just all these sort of, like, different things.
Nice.
Yeah.